It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always on Sunday during the BBOTT season, I'm here with you to discuss what is going down in the Big Brother house with the live feed correspondents. First is a man who does not like his hair today at all. In fact, he said he hates his hair today. It's Brent Wolkebot, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Yeah, I'm just kind of fooling around with it, flipping it around, you know, as I do. Alex.
No, no, Brent, it looks good. And the lighting on the live show, you can see normally when we do these, it's late at night, so it's very dark. But Brent's got some natural light from his house coming in to his background. And it looks really good, Brent. I like seeing more of your humble abode.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, you guys have never seen my house before. But yeah, this is it. That's the kitchen. That's where I'm at most of the time back there.
So there we go. You can see if you want to check out, if you're listening to the audio version of this and you want to see the YouTube video of this, you can go to robiswebsite.com/YT to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and see the video version of this. Next is a man who is dressed up for Halloween. It is Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
I'm not dressed up for Halloween, Jordan. I forgot the hoodie. I don't know if you can tell.
Well, you're Mr. Robot. Do you not? You look exactly like Mr. Robot. It's great.
No, listen, Mr. Robot looks like me. I was the inspiration for the character, Jordan. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. So Mr. Robot is every day dressed up as you for Halloween.
The character was inspired by me. The entire show is about a dude that looks like me. That's the entire premise, right?
I guess, yeah.
I don't think JP knows. Like, I don't think he's actually seen the show. Not only is Taryn a robot, but the guy on Mr. Robot looks like Taryn Armstrong. Like, did you not know?
No, I know
this?
That. I know okay, that. Cool. Yes, right, cool. I do know that. Right. I do know that. I have not seen the show, but I do know that. But I will have to ask Antonio Mazzaro and Josh Wigler about, that's who does the post-show recaps on that, right? Yeah. I think so. I'll have to ask them about what they think about Taryn's theory on that. And last but not least, is a man who, in an earlier conversation that we were having before the show, was saying that fantasy football is to fantasy baseball as Big Brother OTT as to Big Brother proper. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
I'm good, Jordan. Yeah, that comparison is money for many reasons. Fantasy baseball was the original. Fantasy football came along later. Fantasy baseball is the strategic sport. Fantasy football is very luck-based. Anyone wants to challenge me on that, feel free to come at me on Twitter. You're wrong.
I didn't know Alex hated football so much.
I hate football.
Alex
fantasy
hates
football.
Football
is a luck is a game with extreme variance. Taryn, all I'd have to do is explain to you each game for 10 minutes and you'd be on my side. I know you well enough to know this.
You also know well enough that I'm just trying to get the hashtag to be Alex hates football.
So we are going to be waiting for bated breath for that podcast where Alex explains the difference between the two games. I was going to throw Alex back to Alex, but it looks like we've lost him. He's slowly coming back here. So just give him a second to recollect himself. He got so mad when Taryn said he hates football that he exploded his computer.
Taryn sent me a virus again. That's how this works. He uploads something into my hardware every time. The insult is just like to get me distracted. Like he's got the rubber duck up here and he's just like stabbing with the knife down here.
Well, cool. Alex, I was going to say to you, you are then, by you saying that fantasy football is luck based, you are saying that the fact that you are winning our fantasy football league with Colin Stone and many other podcast friends, you're saying that's actually not based on any pure skill. In fact, it's all based on luck.
Correct. I haven't put in work at all. I don't deserve my position in that game, but I will take.
All right. And
much like BBOTT.
And Brent is queuing up that we should move on. So let's do that. We're live on robizawebsite.com. We've got the chat room going on robizawebsite.com. So you want to check out that chat room. It's chatwing.com/happy hour. I believe there is a chat room as well on the YouTube live page if you're on actually on YouTube. But this is the official chat of the Happy Hour. If you want to jump over here, this is the one that we monitor during the show. So if you want to jump over to that one, that would be great. We're going to be taking your questions today as well. You can get those in by tweeting me. I am at Jordan Parhar. Make sure that you use hashtag Rahappy Hour. Otherwise, I will not see the tweets. So hashtag Rahappy Hour on Twitter. That is how you get your questions in. All right, guys, let's jump into it. So a few things have changed. We had a podcast on Friday. Alex, Taryn, and I, we were discussing the game plan for Danielle this week in terms of her nominations. But Taryn, it seems like that plan has slightly shifted in the past 48 hours.
Yeah, slightly. She's still thinking about putting up Shelby and Morgan. However, there has been Alex has put in some work, and so has Jason. Who Jason has talked to Danielle about, like what we talked about on Friday, which is these two girls, Morgan and Whitney, are the only two that haven't gotten a care package yet. We need to get one of them out this week so that we can get a care package in the future. And even though, and on top of that, Alex and Scott, he sees Alex and Scott as a pair, and he sees them as people that can be detached from the rest of the group, obviously unaware of the sister connection. So he sees, like I said, Alex has made a deal with Jason. You know, we'll keep you safe. If you go up as America's nominee, we won't vote you out. So there's been some dealing, some behind doors dealing going on this week, which has been fun. And it'll be interesting to see, because it seems as though Alex is probably safe this week, regardless of what happens.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that is not what we were really expecting going into this, Alex Kidwell. So what do you think about this approach from Danielle and co?
Well, I think it's not necessarily what Danielle wants to do for herself, knowing that Scott is probably targeting her regardless of what she's saying, knowing that Alex is probably looking at her. But, you know, for the people that this deal works for, you look at Jason, who's kind of the broker of this deal here, so to speak, the one that's really benefited from this because Alex has gone to Jason and convinced him that, you know, her and Scott won't target him if he's able to keep them safe this week. And he was able to look at the situation and say, you know, that's something I could actually make happen pretty easily. Danielle's already thinking of not nominating these people and only making one a backdoor target. If I can like sell this, I can, you know, very easily go back and say, hey, it's done. And then I have actually like made an action. You know, there's been so much words this season, just back and forth, but it's all been talk. And so this is the first time Jason could actually say, he can point to something and say, I've gone to Danielle. I did what you asked me to do. It's going to happen. And it actually is going to happen. And whether or not it's best for Danielle, it is going to be the catalyst that allows Jason and Alex to have some kind of stability to move forward from should they want to go that route.
Brent, what's what you said earlier, we were talking before the show, the other people in the Plastics Alliance, Whitney's catching on to this a little bit. You said that Justin had a conversation with her earlier.
Right. I was going to wait to get to that, but because I wanted to discuss it. Let's back up a little bit. So
okay,
like, not only
go ahead.
Is Alex safe, which is what I've been trying to make happen as a fan of Big Brother, because I am certainly biased, for those of you who don't know. I am a biased live feed correspondent. I want certain things to happen, that being I want Alex and Scott safe, and I'd rather have Justin and Jason safe. So we could all get what we want this week if things work out. So Scott may go up as America's nominee. It's possible, not probable. Polls are different saying things. Taryn's poll is out there hanging around as it always is. And you never know. So I think that it's possible that Scott could go up as America's nominee. Jason has even said, if you go up as America's nominee and we win the veto, we'll take you down to make sure that somebody, you know, he's not telling them, but what he wants to have happen is somebody who is eligible for a care package to go home. Okay. So fast forward to last night. Remember that Justin, Chrissy, and Whitney were named have-nots. By the way, these are the three people who have not been have-nots before. I don't know why anybody would think that there's anything more to this than meets the eye, but the house guests do. They continually think that the person whose name is first on the card for have-nots is going to be nominated by America, because apparently that's what's been happening in the past. I haven't checked each one, but I trust the house guests on this. So fine. Whitney's name was the first on the have-not card. Justin is in the have-not room with her, and he's basically much to Jason's chagrin, and I don't even think Jason knows about it at this point. I haven't really checked to see what's happening today. Our house guests were sleeping last I looked. He spilled all of Jason's tea to Whitney. And he's like, Whitney, you in danger, girl. Because he's like, if Morgan comes down, you know, Jason's trying to get the people with the care packages out. And that means you, and you may not have the votes to stay. And beyond that, you shouldn't trust Alex and Scott because they've been making deals with Jason and Danielle. And you're at the bottom of the totem pole. And Whitney was like, no. I know that I trust them. I really do. And he's like, you shouldn't. And Justin has the credibility in the house to be able to say to Whitney, I'm not gaming you right now. I'm telling you the truth, girl, and you're at the bottom of the totem pole. And, you know, she's right, or he's right, because if Morgan's on the block, Alex and Scott are going to do everything they can to save Morgan. And that's the one unseen piece of the puzzle that everybody's missing at this point, is that Alex will do anything to save Morgan, to the point where, and I know I'm kind of going all over the place, I'm just trying to get as much information out as I'm thinking about it. Scott actually told Shelby earlier in the day, remember, Scott is one of these weird people that is totally effing honest with people. He told Shelby, amongst other people, that he would never vote against Alex. And he told Shelby, I'll never vote against you unless you're on the block next to Alex. And he was telling her the truth. But Shelby takes that as like, she's weirded out by that. And so she's like, well, maybe I should cancel your vote this week then. And he's like, well, it's not going to come to that. But it does, like, I know people are like on Scott because he's so honest, and they're also on Scott because they think he's gaming. But he also has this weird dynamic that he's willing to do anything to protect Alex to the detriment of his own game. And I have never seen this in any version of Big Brother ever. I really have not. Where maybe Clay and Shelly, you know, but like to actually do something to propel somebody else forward in the game is something I've never seen before. And I don't know that the house guests know what to do with that. So I gave you a lot of information. You guys can break it down.
Okay. Lots to unpack there. First off, the move decision by Justin to let Whitney know this information, Taryn, what do you think about that?
It's dangerous. He told her late last night and he said, please do not tell anybody that I told you this. But she hasn't really had a chance to talk with the other girls yet. So it's unclear as to whether or not she will spill the beans about this. Honestly, I think she probably will. I think she'll probably go to Alex or even maybe Morgan, and she'll talk to them because she feels close to them and she's felt close to them for a long time in this house. And it's really difficult to introduce information and completely sever that bond just like right away. So it's very dangerous. And if this information gets back to Alex and Alex goes back to Jason, then Jason is going to be like, dude, what are you doing to me here? Like, this is not good, especially because there's not a lot that Whitney can do to save herself anyway. It's not like she can say, like, oh, you know, I'm not working with them anymore. Like, Jason's not going to trust that. So Whitney could probably go home anyway, and Justin's spot could get blown up. It's a very tricky thing what he's doing, and I'm not sure he sees all of the potential ramifications. But I like the gusto. I like that he's going for it. I like that he's playing the game. I like that this HOH is allowing this stuff to happen. And potentially, depending on America's nomination, we could see this kind of play go forward. And people like Alex, able to save themselves through their own game and not through America. And that's what I want to see.
By the way, just really quickly, like, this is what we love about Big Brother, because Danielle's HOH has been it's been great. I love it. There's a lot of cross-pollination going on between the different sides. And you see the difference between what, you know, our Alex Kidwell talked about last week with Chrissy, where she just shut everything down. Everybody had to keep their heads down and do what the HOH told them, because that's the way Chrissy wanted to have it. And she was not going to entertain anything that kept the other side safe. Danielle, on the other hand, is a bigger woman than that. She's willing to work with the other side, and the other side is willing to work with her. There are people on the Ball Smashers who really want to keep Danielle. Shelby, in particular, in her diary room to us, told us, look, I would love to work with Danielle, mainly because Shelby recognizes that Danielle is not particularly liked by America. And she is certain that if she gets to the final three with Danielle, that Danielle will not win. But she didn't want to approach Danielle with a deal this week, because it's going to look fake, because Danielle is the current head of household. The other thing to keep in mind with Shelby's care package is that she, even with the care package, she's become a bit of a target. And she even said on the feeds yesterday, I think, thanks, America, for giving me this care package. Now I'm probably going to go on the block because of it. And she's right. But she may not know who to cancel out, because she doesn't know, like, if she ends up on the block next to Morgan, she doesn't know that Alex is her sister. She doesn't know that she's going to do anything to save her. On balance, I think Alex is probably closer to Shelby from me looking on the outside, looking at the house guests. So Shelby would have cause to believe that Alex would vote to keep her, but that's not necessarily true. And so Shelby was even floating the idea, I think suggested by somebody on the Misfit side, that Shelby cancel out the votes from the Ball Smashers and let the Misfits decide. And of course, Alex was like, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Because she knows she can control the vote if she has control of it. That doesn't make any sense. But you know what I mean. If she has all three votes, she can get what she wants done.
Yeah, and that's what I brought up on Friday, which is that, like, we could see a scenario this week where Shelby essentially votes herself out by canceling the wrong votes, and that could be phenomenal.
Oh, man. Tyson apostling herself. We don't want to do that, although it would be great TV for sure. Alex Kidwell, let's talk about these polling results. Seems like Scott has polled, since we talked on Friday, I was joking, saying, oh, well, you know, there's Chrissy's going up 100%. There's nothing that we can do. She's going to go up. We could even endorse Scott to go up and he won't go up. But since then, it looks like Scott has really risen in the ranks. Specifically, like, how close is this vote right now going into tomorrow? Could it go either way at this point, or does it look like Scott is the clear favorite, ahead of Chrissy?
No, I think it could definitely go either way. I think, you know, the fact that 2 days ago it looked so overwhelmingly to be Chrissy, today it does look like, from what I'm seeing, for the most part, it's slightly towards Scott. But I wouldn't put so much stock in that to say, like, oh, yeah, it's definitely going to be Scott. I think it could very easily be either one. I think it looks pretty close. And I think it just comes down to, right, a lot of people are, you know, you still have, like, the same voters who are, you know, voting based on sidelines that, you know, may or may not still fully exist. And then you have voters that want to, put up Chrissy just for the reason that she's unbearable. I mean, she's now dropped to dead last in the Joker's rankings under Cornbread, under Monty. I mean, this is like uncharted territory. I mean, you really have to work to get yourself there.
But I have to say,
on the other side, you've got people who just recognize what Taryn's talking about, that the Scott being on the block creates the most potential for drama and for interesting circumstances with what happens after the veto. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I thought you were done talking. As far as Chrissy being on the block, this is going to be really tough for me, because as I've always maintained, I'm okay with the Ball Smasher going home. But Chrissy is so unbearable, and she's gotten to the point where even I find her unbearable. And it's not just from an unbearable, like, feeds watching perspective. It's from a game perspective. She's stifling so much of the game, and it's so intriguing to me to watch other people play the game. And I kind of forgot, like, watching the season, because it's been so polarized between the two sides, that these people are capable of making deals with people on the other side of the house. But Chrissy is such a stopper against that. So if Chrissy's on the block, I mean, to put it out there, I support a Chrissy nomination and I support a Chrissy eviction. But if something else happens, I'm okay with that this week. I'm not as vehement as I was the past few weeks.
Taryn, yeah, go ahead.
The polls this week are interesting, because, we saw last week, or at least I did on my poll, that, there was definitely a huge push. You know, the numbers in my poll almost tripled, and it was wrong for the first time. It was it said that Scott was going to be evicted instead of Neely. And this week, similar things seem to be happening where, on the Joker's poll page, there's been like five different polls posted. And it seems like a lot of poll, like there's been a lot of movement to push for the Misfit side in the polling. And so it's hard to know how accurate it is, because there's a lot of campaigning. Like, when I look at my poll's retweets, like, anybody that quote retweets it is always on the Misfit side. Like, there's tons of people trying to get the polls to lean a certain way. And I don't know if that's representative of the audience as a whole, or if the Misfits just have like a very strong campaign for the polling, because as we saw, the polling has been wrong. So I do think it's very interesting, and I think we're going to get a much clearer picture of what's going to happen as soon as the voting actually opens, because that tends to be where the most accurate polls come from. But it really could go either way.
I think the reason that they're
huge, I was just going to say, getting such huge pushes on your poll is usually something you have to pay for, Jordan.
Yes.
I don't have to. What was I going to say? I forget. I remember. The thing that the reason I think that there a lot of people are the misfits are trying to like quote you and like quote your poll and retweet it is because for so much of the time, no tea, no shade, but the misfit side fans out there, people complaining to me, y'all have been divided. Like, it was easy for me to get Shelby the care package this week. All I have to do is tweet out a thing that says, we're all on board to get Shelby out there. But you guys couldn't decide between Jason and Danny who you wanted to give the care package to. I saw a poll on Jokers that had Shelby at, like, 45%. But then it had Jason at, I don't know, like, 29%, and then had Danny at like 11%. If you add those two together, it's within the margin of error. So, like, it's not my fault that the Misfit fans can't get on the same page. The Ball Crusher fans, Ball Smasher fans, they have been on the same page from the beginning for the most part.
So, Brent, do the Misfits need a leader? Is that what we're saying? Do they need a leader to lead them into battle, into these polls and into these votes? Because I feel like that would make a difference.
Well, I feel like that they have too many leaders. That's the problem. There are too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, I know Coco the Bear on Twitter has a huge following, and Eric from Reality Recaps and Miss Cleo have all been trying to get people to do different things. And sometimes they're on the same page and sometimes they're not. But, you know, people like see a poll. I know that even as people were Steam was picking up for Jason to get the care package this week, Eric on Reality Recaps, who I love, also said that, you know what, I don't care what these other people say. I want Danny to have a successful HOH, and let's give it to Danny. Well, bitch, that's not helping your side, because y'all got to get on the same page. So don't come crying to me if y'all can't get on the same page.
Oh, man. See, this, Alex Kidwell, this kind of is almost inspiring me to try to throw myself. It's sort of like the presidential race. Like, I see, oh, okay, there's Donald Trump and Jeb Bush and all these people that are running for the nomination. I should just throw my hat in the ring and be the lead, try to see if I can rally all the misfit votes right together.
Yeah,
I
think it would fail in a general election with 31% of the popular vote or something like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I on the Friday podcast said that I supporting the HOH, and that means a Scott nomination. But I said, you know, the Misfits supporters, they on the whole seem to have a very poor social game. It's very difficult to be on their side.
Yes.
After that podcast, I had countless people telling me, you don't really endorse Scott. You're lying. Like, okay, sure. I was lying then. Guess I'm not endorsing it. Okay, you've convinced me. Like, what is the point of that? Like, you're actively trying to not get people on your side. It's crazy. It's crazy the amount of divisiveness that this season has gotten. Honestly, I think that's a large part of why they're having trouble, getting a vote together. Because even when people are endorsing things that they support, they're like, oh no, but we don't want you. Go away.
You're not doing it for the right reasons. I'm not believing you.
Right?
You don't really mean it.
That's a good time to bring up the...
Yes, Brent, go ahead.
We were going to talk about this, but I have largely stayed out of the fray or been undercover, whatever you want to look at, as far as, you know, some of the hate that Alex and Taryn both have gotten from a lot of the people on Twitter and social media about this season. But, you know, ever since I got on the Ball Smashers bandwagon the last week or so, I have been also getting the hate. This is the thing. I don't mind if you come at me with some hate. That's fine. I can like your hate. It's fun. I even retweet some of it. It's when it gets into the calling me a racist because I wanted to vote out Neely over Scott. That's where I just can't handle you people. Need I remind you that I supported getting out a straight white male for not one, not two, but the first 3 weeks of Big Brother Over the Top. I mean, that I don't think that's ever happened, that we got out three straight white males, maybe in some season. I don't know, like Big Brother 15 maybe was? Yeah, I think three straight white males went out there.
Iffy Jeremy Maguire, but yes, we get what you're saying.
Right.
He's Cherokee.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, you messed me up, but what was I saying? Oh, I don't know. So, leave the racist stuff out of it, because, I love seeing these people in the house. It's a very fun season for me. Danielle, going into this week, I would have not have said, like, I would have liked her as an HOH, because she has been very anti the other side, but I have been very much pleased with her HOH insofar as the deals and the conversations that she's willing to have with the other side. And when she doesn't have Chrissy lording over her as HOH of the house, it makes it a lot easier.
Sorry, I just can't get over the Jeremy thing. wouldn't it make sense, though, as well? Like, just thinking about it, like, so in terms of, so Brent, you're endorsing Chrissy. Just to play devil's advocate, wouldn't it also be kind of good for the Ball Smashers if Scott went up as well? Because he's not really in any danger. And if you are a Scott fan, if the Misfits see that Scott isn't popular from America or America's standpoint, then right. that's going to make them think, oh, well, we can get him out anytime. America doesn't like this guy.
I cannot endorse it, but I will not fight against it. That's where I'm at on Scott as a nominee at this point. Because it's Big Brother, weird things can happen. I know that they said if they win the veto, they'll take him off the block. I know they said they'll keep him. On the other hand, Scott is a combustible person, and he could offend some people. I'm talking about in the house. And they could just say, screw it, let's vote him out. Like, I could see that happening. So I'm nervous about him being on the block. But if it happens, oh well.
Yeah, and I do, like I said, I am endorsing supporting Danielle's HOH, which means Scott going on the block. However, I think the argument that it helps the Plastics in any way is absurd. Like, no, yeah. No, it doesn't. Like, it really hurts them. Like, Chrissy going on the block is the best case scenario for them. So I am all for supporting the Scott, you know, nomination, but that's for my reasons, and that's to support the HOH, not to help the Plastics any way. I think it really hurts the Plastics, and anybody making that argument, I disagree with.
I support a Chrissy nomination because it further decimates the Misfit side of things. So let's say Chrissy's out the door. America's not touching Justin and Jason, okay? They're just not. And Danielle is shown to be willing to work with the other side. I do believe it's at that point where it's like 5-3 where the Plastics would start to look at somebody like Whitney or maybe even somebody like Alex and say to themselves, maybe we should get them out. You know, I can see that happening if it becomes imbalanced. As long as it stays balanced, I feel like the two sides are going to continually fight against each other. That's kind of why I support getting Chrissy. I really support getting Chrissy out of the house this week.
Alex Kidwell, where's your head at with all this?
Yeah, Alex.
I think it's only fitting that, you know, Brent is taking one side and Terrence taking another side, and I want to abstain from this week's vote completely. I don't want either thing, and I want both things in that I don't want to have to listen to Chrissy for another week on these live feeds. I don't under any circumstances, and I can't endorse any situation that allows her to stay for another week. But at the same time, I can't endorse a situation that sets up next week for a care package that's a co-HOH where one side could potentially, like, you know, like the Misfits could game that and potentially just like have the numbers to make that not matter. And potentially, like, you know, if the co-HOH is like Jason and Alex, I mean, Jason, you know, there's no votes there. Like, they could just take out, if it ends up being at the expense of Justin, I'm not going to be thrilled with that. So I don't like either scenario. And
I agree. That's,
you
know, where I'm at,
you
too.
You got to go with one. I'm going to plead the fifth here, Jordan. As I said,
and I will say again, like, as at least as far as I'm concerned, like, don't listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. If you agree with my reasoning, then feel free to vote. But don't just vote because I'm saying to do it. Like,
follow your heart, America.
Think for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
Reach
I don't.
For the stars.
I am your HOH. Your I'm telling you guys to do this. Go and nominate Chrissy. Do it.
I will say this. You know, I've thought about it. Do I try to be the champion of the Misfits, or do I stick with Brent? Here's what I will say, okay, Misfits fans, if you're listening, I'm going to support Brent this week.
Yes.
I'm going to support our HOH, our prince that was promised, Brent Wolgamott. I am going to support Brent with the Chrissy nomination. But here's the caveat, okay? I'm going to make a deal with you. This is a game. We're playing a game on the outside, too. So here's my deal I have for you. I will support Chrissy going up. You guys, together, as a unit, should support putting Chrissy up because then, once Chrissy is gone, the Misfits have gotten rid of probably their most unlikable person in their alliance. And next week, I will jump onto your team. I will do what you guys say. I will try to be your champion. I will try to promote whatever you guys want to happen, because Jason, we know Jason and Justin aren't going anywhere, and it's not really any fun if it's just like two people against the entire house. So at that point, I'm cool with losing Scott, but we have to lose Chrissy, because we cannot have Chrissy win this game, guys. I'm sorry. We can't. Could you imagine we live in a world where Chrissy is the winner of this season?
Or Chrissy gets to the end?
Ugh. Or she gets to the end? No, I don't want that. So let's get rid of Chrissy now. Let's just give Alex, Brent, and Taryn a break, okay? Like, it's been yeah, long enough. It's been over a month they've had to deal with Chrissy. Like, let's just get rid of her now. And then next week, I'll jump over to the Misfit side, and I'll gladly work with you guys, and we can get rid of some of these ball smashers. But for now, Chrissy just has to go, okay?
What does Danielle say in that clip that Rob always plays about catching a break? Like, our side of the house just needs to catch a break, you know?
Yes, exactly. But this would be the break, getting rid of Chrissy, because she's unbearable, and she's just, you know, it's stupid stuff that's just keeps happening, and I don't watch nearly as much feeds as you guys do, and I'm sick of her. So let's just get rid of her and move on from this. Before we move on, we get into your questions. I just want to briefly touch upon Taryn. We were sent a video last night of some more shenanigans with the candy wars. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know, the candy wars are raging on.
Hold on, let me take out my earphones. Go ahead.
The biological warfare is also raging on. You know, some candy was put in some nasty places, and Jason was doing the putting, and Chrissy was doing the receiving, and then they were put back in the bag, and
you know, it's screen just,
it's gross. I don't
want to
talk about it.
Yeah, see, this is why I don't like the Misfits. Y'all out there who are bitching to me on Twitter, see, Alex's side of the house does not do this shit, okay? The ball smashers, they don't do this shit, all right? Jason and his side, they are nasty, okay? They are nasty people. Stop doing that. That's why I can't stand them. Sorry, go ahead.
Stop that.
Alex, any thoughts?
I feel like I've expressed my thoughts on this matter. I don't want to scratch this any deeper than we've already delved too far under the surface here with this.
Okay, that's fine. We'll jump into the questions then. If you want to get your questions in, you can send them in to me using hashtag RaHappyHour on Twitter. This question comes from not John Fincher. Not John Fincher asks, is the Great Poll War of 2016 the most absurd and ridiculous thing that has come from this season? Taryn, what do you think about that?
No, I think the crazy amount of hate is the most ridiculous thing. The poll wars are fun for me, at least. Like, I like being the data analyst guy that's like trying to analyze all the polls, and I've got my own poll going on, and you know, is my poll bigger than Joker's poll? I don't know. Maybe we'll see. But the polling is fun for me.
Yeah, it's so 2016, you know, like with the election happening and Big Brother Over the Top coming out, and we're all doing polls on things, trying to figure out who's leading what. And then other people are like trying to like, you know, like make the polls go the way they want them to do, as if that does anything. Like, that doesn't right? change anything as far as CBS goes, for heaven's sake. Like, you retweeting Taryn's poll and making like, you know, 20 fake accounts to put 20 more votes in, that doesn't do squat. Ugh.
It makes you feel better, Brent.
Yeah, it's a moral victory, Brent. Come on.
That's true.
Hijacking Taryn's polls, like that's why I did that last week. It felt great.
Yeah, don't discourage people from putting more votes into my poll. This is big for me, Brent.
All right, this next question is from Edward Morris. Two-parter. Here's the first one. Edward Morris asks, is an alliance between Shelby and Danielle in the best of both of their interests? And if so, for how long? So, Brent, what do you think about that? Would a Shelby and Danielle alliance work?
As I say, yes, bitch, this is what I want. Like, I would love a Shelby-Danielle alliance. Like, if that actually happened, and then we have, like, Alex and Scott trying to do their own thing, and Jason and Justin trying to do their own thing, like, that would be great Big Brother. And I'm really, like, I don't want to hope for that, because then it probably won't happen, but I'm really hoping that that happens. Like, that would be great, because she's right. They do need each other. And Danielle, for her part, She's feisty. I like Danielle. I mean, remember, I supported keeping Danielle back when Shane was on the block next to her. And the reason I supported keeping Danielle is because she's not boring. I felt like Shane was like totally vanilla. Danielle, she's many things, but she's not boring. I like her. It's like I said, this week with Danielle is the HOH. I wasn't on board with it when it originally happened, but I'm so on board with it now because I think it's giving us other possibilities that the game had not previously presented to us or the other house guests.
Yeah, I love it. This is like I've been talking about how I've been liking Shelby's game, and this is just furthering her game. Like, this is a great move for her. If she's able to keep Danielle from spilling the beans about this alliance and they actually try to keep each other safe and get toward the end with each other, that's what they should be doing. And I'd love to see this sort of maneuver its way into what should be the optimal strategy, which is the unpopular house guest versus the popular house guest, rather than this is my friend and we're always going to stick together, because the unpopular people need to get out the popular people, and they need to stick together.
It's going to come down to action, though. I feel like, you know, Danielle's the current HOH, so like Shelby looks like she's pandering to her, as I often do. So right. She's trying to like get her to do stuff, but she's not really. Like, she's actually wants to make a deal with Danielle. She told us in the live diary room. So it's incumbent upon her, I feel like, to do what Danielle wants insofar as the care package goes. That will prove to Danielle, like, bitch, I can be trusted. I want to work with you. But it's dicey, too, because Shelby's put in a position where she's trusting people who are not necessarily the closest to her. So that might be scary for her.
Yeah, and what puts her in a great place right now is that if it does become an unpopular people versus popular people game, she has an in with the popular people right now. And that's a great place to be, because she, whichever side wins, she either gets dragged to the end by the popular people or she forges her own way to the end with the unpopular people. So I like what she's doing, and I want to see the game turn into more of that, where like they really have to start paying attention now to who's popular. We need to get these people out now, or they're gonna win the game. There's no doubts about it.
The second half of this question, and there's another person who had a similar one. So Edmo asks, has Danielle been a better player since Shane has left? And this is another one from Timo. Timo says, Danny's been perceptive, made deals to benefit her game long term, and has been more social. Can we give her some more credit? Alex Kidwell, thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, she's definitely been better since Shane's been gone, because she's not distracted. I mean, when Shane was in the house, I mean, they would isolate themselves a lot. They spent a lot of time in the bedroom. Like, you know, ceremonies and nominations and stuff would happen. And then they would just, as soon as they were done, they would go off just the two of them. And, I don't, you know, regardless of whether or not that's actually separating you from the core of your alliance, it is sending a message. Like, it does imply subtly, psychologically, that the two of you feel that you're more important or in some way separate from even the group that is putting their necks on the line to try to vote with you and protect you. So I think once Shane was gone, that eliminates that, you know, piece that she's kind of like always attached to. Now she needs to find other things and other people to talk to and to occupy her time with. And that's just going to lead to her having to think about the game more and starting to act in according ways.
Yeah, like 180 degrees. I can't give her enough credit, and I don't know if she's doing it intentionally, but with Shane out of the house, it's been wonderful to watch Danielle. She said that I think she was talking yesterday or the day before that I keep having this recurring dream that one of us wins a competition and we get to pick which house guest gets to come back, and I pick Shane. And I'm like watching it going, no, bitch, no. Like, that is not what you need for your game. Do not bring the penis back into the house. You don't need Shane, okay? You need to concentrate on winning $250,000. That's what you need right now. I'm hoping she can see that. I don't think, like, if she had her druthers right now, she would want Shane back in the house, and that would be the worst possible thing for her game. So that, like, that doesn't make me feel great about her game, but I'm glad that she can't make that happen.
Yeah, like has Danielle improved? Yes. Was there anywhere else for her to go? No. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, okay, you know, like, small goals here. Small goals, Taryn.
Yeah.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Right. Specifically, though, I mean, we've got the – I mean, Timo is referencing, like, she's been more perceptive and is making deals and stuff like that. Has she really
been
doing
that? Yeah, she
doesn't
have to account for freaking Shane anymore. She doesn't have to say, well, you know, you'll keep us both safe next week. That's not part of the equation anymore. She's just looking out for number one, okay? And there are people in the house that she doesn't necessarily like. I mean, it's just – like, it's nice to see that she's not, like, latched at the hip with some boy that she just met 2 weeks ago. Like, I can't stand it when people get into a reality TV show and they throw away their chance for the big bucks on a piece of meat. That's what it is.
I think that the perceptiveness and the making deals stuff, that's always been there. It's just, it was never successful because she was in a position where it obviously wouldn't be successful. She's doing the same things, but from a better position, especially now toward the later end of the game, where it looks like she's both unpopular outside of the house and inside of the house. So she currently has power. So everyone's coming to her and making deals with her because why not? She is a great person to bring to the end. And you know, that's put her in a much better position, and she's able to work with that much better than the more difficult position of the earlier game scenarios.
Who specifically is Titus with, or who, let me rephrase this differently, who is Danielle closest with then at the current moment, Alex Kidwell, from your perspective? Within the Misfits, is she closest with Jason, Chrissy, Justin? What exactly is it?
Probably Jason, and certainly Jason and Chrissy. Like, there's some distrust with Justin. There really doesn't seem to be any distrust with Chrissy and Jason. It's just a matter of, like, who do you think she talks to more? I would say probably Jason.
And what are the specific deals she has with people on the other side of the house?
Just some conversations have been had. She's talked about a possible deal with Shelby that goes, like, you know, further into the game. And then also she's worked on like a deal with Scott that is now like what we were talking about having kind of like gotten back around a little bit. This idea that Danielle's on the bottom of her alliance, Scott's on the bottom of his alliance. Maybe we should work together. So that Scott kind of mentioned something about that to Alex and to Shelby. And that's something that now is kind of, I think, common knowledge, this idea that they both are on the bottom and they had this conversation. But that was something that Danielle was working on as well.
Well, every single member of the Plastics has come to Danielle and offered her a deal. Shelby offered her a deal, and Morgan offered her a deal, Alex offered her a deal, and Scott offered her a deal. And she wasn't, like, super gung-ho about taking any of them in particular. She's willing to entertain them. But the person that didn't really offer her as much of a deal, Whitney, is the person she actually wants to work the most with. And again, I'm not sure that's the right choice for her, especially if Morgan wins this veto. But that's sort of where things stay. Like, everybody has offered a deal to her, except for Whitney to some extent.
All right, this next question is from Trent Williams. Trent says, with Jason's negative attitude and jabs towards America, does he still have a chance of winning if he is in the final three? Brent, what do you think about that, just based on what you've been seeing?
Yeah, I think Jason's got a big enough personality, and you know, obviously he has some hardcore fans from back in the day when he was on Big Brother proper. So yeah, I think Jason is definitely a possibility to win if he gets to the end. I mean, obviously his popularity has fallen. You know, he was number one, number two, number three, and now he's down to the middle, and he's not exactly doing a lot to give himself a great look to America. And I think he's sort of like bum puzzled at like, why is this happening? And am I disliked by America? And if I am, why am I disliked by America? Or is it me? Is it the people I'm hanging out with? Truthfully, it's a little bit of both. It is the people that he's hanging out with. And part of it, the people that dislike Jason for me are irritated at his attitude. He sort of is a judgmental bitch when it comes to the other house guests. And I don't much like it. So, and I know he can be like that, but he wasn't like that for the first few weeks when he didn't have power. And that was the Jason that we all knew and loved. Now that Jason, at least in some ways, like, you know, by week three, Jason thought he had all the power. He had America behind them, blah, 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 blah. And that Jason's not fun to watch. It's just like Nicole from last season. Nicole, the first season, not in control of the game. We all rooted for her. I was praying that Nicole would win Big Brother 16, okay? Then she gets evicted. Fine. She comes back. I'm rooting for her again. Nicole from last season, I couldn't effing stand because she was basically in control of the game the entire time. It's just like Big Brother in general. The more underdog you are, the more people root for you, including me, and I can be a hypocrite about it. And the more power you have and the more entitled you get, the more I dislike you and want to vote you out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Alex who said this on the Friday show. We're all hypocrites.
I totally am.
And maybe not hypocritiots, but hypocrites. So let's take this next question. This one is from Amy D. Amy says, if you want a fair game, why is it cool to keep Scott and Morgan around for Alex? How would anyone else have a shot to win?
Yeah, you lost me at fair, bitch. Okay, that's the problem with this question. Big Brother ain't fair and neither is life.
All yeah, right. And it, like
well,
and again,
game
like
especially is way underpaid.
Yes,
like I want to support the HOH, but it's not fair to say that oh these people are currently doing the best. Let's knock them down. That's not fair. That's saying like oh if they're better at the game then they deserve more you know like punishments. Like that's not how the game works.
Right.
I think what's fair is to support the HOH.
Right. And for people that's saying, well, we should support the HOH, y'all weren't saying let's support the HOH during week one. Y'all weren't saying let's support the HOH during week two. Y'all basically gave the Misfit side of the house what they wanted, even though they didn't have any power, okay? The Ball Crusher side, that side of the house, they got totally screwed the first 2 weeks, okay? So now that it's happening to your side, you're all verklempt about it. Get over it.
Yeah, the only like fair measuring stick is like gauging individual performance, and even regular Big Brother, that wasn't really how you played out the game. Like, there's, you know, we could talk about it in, you know, 4-hour off-season podcast. We could try to gauge individual performance, but even in the course of the game, you know, placement didn't even necessarily dictate how good people were at the game. So it's really not a good measuring stick.
That's totally not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you said the only fair measuring stick was Taryn's poll, but yeah.
Would have been would have been much nice. Funnier.
Would have been fun.
Yeah,
would have been good.
I
missed
really
opportunity
right now.
Okay, let's take this one. This one's from Christy Lee. Christy says, "Which cross alliance pairs would you like to see working together?" I don't know if you guys listened to the Survivor recap with T-Bird this week with Rob, where T-Bird had like all of these like pairs that are like unlikely pairs that are going to work together this week.
Shippable,
which was
shippable pairs.
Yes, it was. Which was hilarious. It was very
work
fun.
Together.
Yeah, it was very funny. So is there any – I'd like you each to go around and give me one pair of people that are not working together right now that you would like to see come together and try to run through the game as a pair. Alex, I will throw it to you first.
Justin and his round Scott, yo.
Yeah, I like that. Justin and
that's
Scott.
What I was gonna
that would
say.
Be fun. That's
Justin
a fun
and
one.
Who?
And Scott.
Oh, it's Scott. Oh, and Justin and Scott. Sorry. I was going to say Justin. We're all like Justin. I like Justin and Whitney. Like, and I know that they're not an unlikely pair because they're definitely talking right now. But if they started to run this game, that would be absolutely hilarious. I would just die for that.
Oh, and one thing we forgot to mention when we were talking about how Justin was talking with Whitney is that he was also saying that he's like basically in love with her and that he can barely even look at her without like freaking out
what?
Because she's so attractive. Did I say we're talking about Whitney, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Did I do it again?
But yeah.
Whitney or Shelby?
You're right. I got worried. But yeah, he was like all over it. So yeah, I mean, you know, Justin's in there. He's feeling a little angsty with all these women around. So that's an interesting dynamic, I think.
Man, all y'all got boyfriends. Man.
Justin and a showmance would be funny. I would like to see that. Although I think he's better with that on his own as just like a lone wolf. Much more entertaining, making comments like like that. Being upset that they all have boyfriends. This next one is from Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten says, "Can we get a statement on the alleged voting fraud that
please.
Occurred earlier?" So what exactly? I don't know about this, Brent. What exactly happened here?
Well, insofar as there have been people saying that the plastic side of the house, with no evidence whatsoever, I just want to say, like, there have been people, love you, Eric Reality Recaps, has been saying that many of the plastic fans had their accounts terminated because they were making fake accounts to vote on CBS.com and trying to rig the polls. Like, so CBS, and you can also vote with various devices, so CBS has made it so you can only vote one per IP address, okay? But there is no evidence whatsoever to support the idea that more plastic fans are the ones who are getting their accounts taken down or terminated insofar as the Misfit fans goes. It's just people passing rumor, secondhand information, and just because your site isn't winning doesn't mean that the vote was rigged against you. And there have been a lot of people tweeting me saying that, and it's just not true. Because if that were true, then the polls would show a different result, and they weren't. So get over it.
anyone that thinks that one side is more likely to do something nefarious
yeah.
than the other side
it's
is
like so
is,
stupid.
Like. It's what an absurd concept. Like, as if, like, only the plastics fans are morally corrupt enough to try and cheat the vote. Like,
that's how they
absurd.
Think, though. That's really how people think. Like, I saw Dave Vaughn on Twitter saying, well, I see that the plastic fans are making, like, tons of fake multiple account. I guess that's what I should do for our side. I'm like, bitch, your side's already doing that, okay? Come down off your throne.
Huh. People are so divisive anymore. Like, everyone's got to have a team, and yeah, that means that you've got to have, like, a rival. And it's like, can't you just be people with, like, you know, a show that you watch, and then you go outside when it's over? What happened? When did this become, like, World War III?
The divisiveness is, like, the number one cause of strife in our entire society.
Well, it's not even a TV show. You're on the flipping internet, people. Yeah. Just
let's,
like,
let's temper, just let's like temper our reactions to the significance of the thing. Right.
Okay, well, that leads to another question. This one is from @Zingbot on Twitter. Not the official Zingbot. The old remember before when there was just a Zingbot account before the Zingbot official account?
Right.
And now there's just that Zingbot is still around. The unofficial Zingbot, who, by the way, I enjoyed the unofficial Zingbot before
Absolutely.
The official one came around. Yeah, poor Zingbot. Unofficial Zingbot says, is this season being toxic a little overblown? This format seems to polarize fans, and with that, it keeps things more interesting. Now, we were just talking about that, so that's just to play devil's advocate there. Does it make things more interesting that we are getting, you know, all of this fighting going on? Personally, I'm not a fan. I think maybe we are the wrong group to talk to about something like this. It doesn't really appeal to everyone in this podcast right now. Brent, go ahead.
You know, the hate notwithstanding, I don't really mind it all that much because you guys see that I have a pretty thick skin because, you know, that's just the way I live my life. So, I find this season very engaging. And I'm not necessarily campaigning for more America's Votes, or I don't like it when they're just thrown into the middle. But we knew what all the rules were going in. Going into this season, by week one, we knew what everything was going to be. They laid out all the care packages for us. They said, you're going to have this, this, and this to determine by your votes. And the people who are voting are people like me, people who watch the feeds all the time. So I like that idea for Big Brother Over the Top, and it's kept me very engaged. Look, it's a new show. They wanted to make sure that people watched. I know that there are some people who have gone out on it because of the fact that America has such a big hand in it, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from Big Brother Over the Top. But maybe that's just me. That might be a minority opinion.
Well, I don't like the format as much, but as far as the question about, like, how exactly was it worded again, Jordan? Like,
how is it worded again? It said, yeah. So the exact wording was, and actually I lost it because I deleted it from my notes, but I think it was along the lines of,
is it overblown?
The
toxic atmosphere that we're talking about, is that overblown?
Right. It is not overblown.
No, it's not overblown. And then as far as it pertains to us, like the impact or whatever, you know, that aspect of it was like, I don't even think you can argue. Like, there's no other Big Brother season where people have claimed that we're controlling the outcome. So,
right.
Like, from that perspective alone, you have to say that this season is, like, unique and over the, like, you know, excessive in that respect. But it doesn't mean I necessarily prefer it, even if it has, like, implied my impact carries more weight.
I also agree that that it's not overblown. It's definitely toxic. Like, I mean, just to give you two examples, I mean, we have all gotten tweets this season, and I've never gotten this before, people saying that they're going to try to get us fired from rap because of this, this, and this. And I've also
Brent, speak for yourself, okay? Speak for yourself.
Thank you.
Yes. And I also got a tweet that said, I hope you get AIDS. So, you know, like, I've never gotten that stuff before in the history of my covering Big Brother. I mean, that's just terrible. And, you know, who knows this could be a 12-year-old kid just playing a joke. I don't know. But I just know that the atmosphere is definitely different now than it was before. And I will say that there are some let me rephrase that. There are most Misfit fans who have tweeted me and said, you know, I'm sorry about that. That's terrible. People shouldn't do that. But on the other hand, they're really anti the way I interact with the fandom. And I'm like, but I'm a fan too. You know, I never signed up to be an unbiased live feed correspondent like a reporter on CNN. That's not who the fuck I am. Sorry. That's not who I am. I'm my own person. I like Big Brother because I'm a fan and I'm passionate about it. And once you force me to be something that I'm not, then I'm not going to be any fun. So as I've noted before, I'm very biased, and don't get mad at me just because I pick a side. I'm allowed to pick a side, okay? I'm not a reporter. I have an opinion.
Yeah, and you know, I do try to remain unbiased as much as possible, and I really am looking at things from a neutral perspective, and yet I have had numerous threats of violence, you know, on Twitter, like, and that is the majority of the tweets I get. I get occasionally somebody saying, oh, we're really sorry for the way you're being treated because this is terrible, even though I disagree with you, but that is the minority of what I'm getting, and I do think it's gotten really, really toxic, again, it's like, it's not like I can't handle it, and it's not like I don't want
to
continue doing it.
Yeah.
Right. And what makes me upset is that it's not just me, right? It's everybody. It's anybody that supports any cause. They're getting tons of hate too. And that's like, why are we just spewing hate all over the place? Like, this is not what the show should be about. The Gandhi tweet I was referring to earlier, it's intolerance betrays want of faith in one's cause. And it's just like, why do you have to be so upset about like, oh, somebody doesn't disagree with me, therefore I have to be intolerant to their view and I have to like spew hate at them. Like, it just, it tells me that you don't have faith in your own cause, that you're not going to be like, oh, like I think that I'm right, and therefore, you know, my place is going to be like, my opinion is going to, you know, work out. You have to lash out at people, and that's not cool. Like, why can't we just be like a peaceful, happy society, you know?
Should we change the name of this podcast for the rest of the BBOTT season to the Alex Kidwell Love Tour podcast?
Coming at you.
Right, yeah, where is the love? Straight up.
Sit down on the fur and cuddle up with a glass of wine and some Alex Kidwell's Love Hour.
Okay, oh, yeah. Okay. I have regret throwing that out there. maybe we should just stick with the current name.
And I will just quickly also, I know that even though it's the majority of stuff that I get, it is a minority of the fan base as a whole that is doing this sort of thing. And I'm sorry for like lashing out when I know the majority of people listening are like, what are you even talking about? But it's like, it's there, and I think that people should be treated more kindly. That's all I want.
All right, let's take another question. This one is from John Densford. John says, if America's nominee comes down, who of Morgan or Shelby should each side of the House want out? So if it's Morgan and Shelby on the block come Wednesday night, who should the Misfits be trying to get out, and who should the I guess the Ball Smashers will be supporting keeping Morgan because of the whole Alex connection there. But so
yeah,
what do you guys think?
This is going to be really weird because Shelby's going to have to effectively cancel the votes of the people on her side because they want to keep her because she already got a care package. They want to get out Morgan, but Alex and Scott will definitely carry the vote on the other side, and they want to keep Morgan. So she's in a tough spot. She's got to cancel her own side's votes in order to stay in the House if that's what it comes down to. And that has got to be scary for her, not just because she has to depend on them, but she has to publicly do it and say, basically, I don't trust you guys. I trust these guys for this vote. And that's a tall order.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch here, Taryn.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited at the prospect of it happening because there's a lot of different ways it can play out, and there's a lot of deception that can go into it that could cause some interesting outcomes. There's a lot of different perspectives on who could go out and for what reason, and I'm hoping that it happens because I want to see this play out. It'll probably be the most strategic part of the entire season if it goes through.
And have we confirmed yet, can Shelby cancel America's vote? Do we know that?
I would say probably not, right? That would be great if she could, but I'm guessing no.
I wish that they would. I hope that comes up on the feed sometimes because.
Well, I think their fear is that, oh, well, if we cancel America's nom, then America's going to be mad. CBS's fear. So they're going to say, no, we're talking specific House guests, not America. Although that would be great if they could do that.
Just do it for
Alex,
the whole season.
Based on the.
Right.
Right. That would be awesome.
I would love it if Shelby did that. Like, that would be like such an F you to America. Like, I'm canceling your vote, bitches. Bye.
Alex Kidwell, based on the information that the House guests have, because obviously it would make sense for the Misfits to get rid of Morgan over Shelby based on the information that we have because of Morgan's connection to Alex. But based on what they're working with, what does it? Where do you think they will lean? Do you think they are going to be pro-Shelby, keep her in the House and vote up Morgan if it's those two on the block on Wednesday?
Based on what I'm seeing right now, yes. And it's because of what we talked about really to start the show, which is that Jason and others are starting really as of yesterday to talk a lot more emphatically about the desire and the necessity to go ahead and start targeting people who have yet to win care packages. Shelby has won a care package. Morgan has not. So if you're looking at those two options, a couple care packages left, you know they're going to be super powerful. Take out the person who's a threat to compete with you for one of those care packages.
Yeah, and the thing is that Shelby should be able to figure this out. Like, you know, Jason, you know, when, you know, once the veto happens, and if it's Morgan and Shelby on the block, or even if it's Whitney and Shelby on the block, like, she should be able to figure this out. Like, once she talks to Jason's side, they need to come clean and say, you know, bitch, we're keeping you because you've already won a care package. They need to tell her that. And the other side, like, regardless of what they're telling you, they probably want you out because it doesn't behoove them to keep you, because why would they get rid of someone who hadn't won a care package yet over you who already has? So if she thinks about it logically, it will lead her to the correct conclusion. On the other hand, publicly having to say, I'm canceling out the votes of my own alliance and depending on these people who have never liked from the beginning of the game, that's really tough. I don't envy her position.
All right, let's take one from Jonathan Lewis. Jonathan says, what are the possibilities for it to split into three sides, and what would those sides be? Three sides would be better than two. Taryn, what do you think about that? Do you think it would be better if we had I think I'm based on what you've said, I'm assuming that you are pro no more sides. But if there were three sides, what do you think those would look like?
It would probably be Whitney breaking off with Justin, and then Justin maybe taking Jason along with him. And then I guess, but they would take Chrissy along too. So, they wouldn't really split in that sense.
Yeah. There's no real way I can get them to split three ways at this point without like one side leading heavily towards the other side. So, I think we have
so
to eliminate Chrissy.
Someone in half.
So we could switch sides, maybe people could swap over, but no, it's not going to fracture into three new groups. You don't think?
Well, what, it's just
I don't think there's enough
space
or time.
It's also just like it's like the political parties, like, you know, they could fracture into three different groups. In fact, I think there's probably a majority of America that supports like a middle road centrist option. But if your side does that, then you split your own votes and the other side wins. So I don't know that it would necessarily work out in a way where the House guests could just naturally break up into three sides. I'm sure they all have separate deals, though, with each other that they are, you know, different goals that they want to accomplish moving forward, different people that they want to keep based on their own preferences. You know, Shelby wanting to work with and keep somebody like Danielle, I'm sure would be a surprise to many of the people in her alliance, and also to the people on the Misfit side. I'm sure if they could like give somebody truth serum and gave Shelby truth serum, and she said, you know, I really want to work with Danielle and take her far in the game, I'm sure they'd be blown away because I'm sure from their point of view, they think that Shelby's just a horrible person who is on her side of the house and she's never going to move.
All right, let's take one more. This one is from, we'll take a couple more before we wind things down. This one's from Benjamin Scripps. Benjamin says, don't know if someone has already asked this, but how is Chrissy handling being a have-not? I'm very curious to hear this as well. So Chrissy is a have-not, Justin is a have-not, and Whitney is a have-not. Correct, Brent?
Yes.
And how is Chrissy dealing with this?
Well, they're only, 2 days into it at this point. Justin's probably doing the worst of it.
Justin's reaction was so amazing.
Oh yes, and he's told everybody he's not going to take a shower all week, so that should be fun. He's just going to use, the best part was he said this in front of Danielle, he said he's just going to use Summer's Eve or something like that to wash his genitals, and she was like, you need to keep your vagina clean, like that's what she said to him. It was great.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Justin, God. What a guy. So it hasn't really set in then yet. She's okay. So Chrissy wasn't too upset that she was a have not.
Well,
Alex?
I mean, like, again, these are the three. I'm sorry. What I was going to say.
All good, Brent.
These are the three people who hadn't been have nots yet. So none of them should be upset for anything. It was their turn. You know, nobody got picked on. Y'all haven't been have nots yet, so you got to take a turn. I think that's how the House guests are viewing it.
Okay. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about? Go ahead, Taryn.
Quickly say, I'm seeing on Twitter, apparently Danielle has started talking to Jason about like thinking, well, maybe I should nominate Whitney instead of Morgan next to Shelby. So she's considering another option right now. It's probably just talk, but I thought these were locked, and apparently they're not as much.
Okay, so really good. So we could see Whitney go up there instead. Any reason for the talk of Whitney, Taryn, that you're seeing?
She says she doesn't want to put Morgan up and then have her stay because then she'd be one of her targets where she doesn't feel like she is a target of Morgan's right now.
Oh, okay. And is that correct? Is Danielle a target of Morgan's?
Not as far as I'm aware. No, I think Morgan would rather...
Morgan's target is Justin right now. She fears him for how popular he is.
Like, Morgan would stick to the deal she offered.
Yeah.
And honestly, it is probably better for Danielle to put Whitney up and have Whitney go instead of Morgan, because I feel like Whitney would sooner go after Danielle because Whitney is with Justin, and Justin is much more with, you know, Chrissy and Jason than he is with Danielle. Whereas somebody like Morgan could stick with the Danielle side of that alliance. So it's definitely an interesting conundrum here.
Alex Kidwell, any thoughts on this breaking news are happening now?
No, I think, you know, obviously they don't know that Morgan and Alex are sisters. Given that fact, Whitney having a tie to Justin makes her look like the more threatening person, given that both Morgan and Whitney have all the same other ties. Just the outlying factor that you can't possibly know is that the strongest tie in the house is between Alex and Morgan.
All right, let's see. I'm just looking at the questions here. Let's take two more. This one is from Iron Pony Chef.
You know what? I take that back. You can know it. I say you can't possibly know it. They've messed up. They've given you opportunity. You can know this. I rescind that that gift. You can definitely know this. Step your game up.
Oh wow, Alex Kidwell is he's also breaking news are happening now. He's also changing his opinions on the fly.
seems like Jason is starting to think along like maybe those lines. He's saying, I think Alex and Scott will be more threatened of Morgan in the long run than of Whitney. This is some interesting talk going on.
Oh no, Jason. Oh no. They're not threatened by Morgan, dog. They working with her. Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
This doesn't look good for Whitney.
I think that would be hilarious at some point. And I don't know, because Alex has talked about like using the fact that she and Morgan are sisters as a strategic thing at some point, and I really don't want her to do that because I think that's a bad idea. But if she, you know, you get bored in the house and it's hard to keep a secret, eventually it might come to the point where like she's like, you know what, I should tell Scott that Morgan is my sister, because like it's a final three this year, it's not a final two, and the three of us going to the final three, like if he finds out she's my sister, he's not gonna turn his back on her either. So let's do it. Like that could be, I don't necessarily support it, but it would be interesting if she did it.
Well, speaking of that, Brent, we have a question. This one is from Cassie Lee, and sorry to cut you off, Taryn. Cassie says, if the sisters are found out, will the house evict them or fight to have the numbers and the vote? Taryn?
I think they'd target the sisters. I don't think it would help them at all.
Do you think Scott, do you agree with what Brent said? Do you think Scott would also support the sisters, or do you think he would turn his back on them?
I don't think he will ever turn his back on Alex.
Agreed.
But that's the reason why I don't think she needs to tell him that they're sisters, because she can already convince him to keep Morgan over whoever else. Like, he will just do whatever she says, ultimately. She doesn't need to give him such valuable info, especially when Scott is such a leaky sieve. Like, he just, anything, any information is just going to go straight out to everyone else. Like, she needs to keep him in the dark as much as possible.
Why? So he just tells the truth about everything. Like,
he does. He really does. Yes.
It's crazy. I mean, in fairness to Scott, I will say, when you go in the house and you have glasses, people automatically assume you're up to something. But I don't know if he's so I guess telling the truth, I get maybe where he's coming from
Let me ask you this question then. So if you knew that going into Big Brother Canada, why in the hell did you wear your glasses? Because you wear your contacts most of the time in real life.
Yes. Well, I actually tried to wear my glasses I tried to wear my contacts on night one. I was like, okay, I'm gonna wear my contacts. And they were like, no, you're not. And I was like, oh. Okay.
I'm a super fan. You put them specs back on.
You should have said, I lost my glasses, I can't find them.
Or just
Brent, like, that would have been lost your key.
Just take the hit and break them.
That would have been the funniest thing ever, Brent. That's genius. I should have said that. I've been like, I can't find him. Sorry.
I got confused. I thought I was going on Canadian Survivor, and I started to break. I was trying to make fire.
Sorry. Yeah, pull a Yao Man and break my glasses. And
that
try
isn't
to do
a
that.
Thing, is it? Canadian Survivor? That's not a thing, right?
No, that is not a thing. Good, well, Tyler Kakuno was on a YouTube series.
How dare you?
Okay.
Yes. Survivor Canada is on YouTube if you want to find that. But no, at the moment, there is no Survivor Canada. However, based on some stuff that people have told me, maybe in the future, who knows? We could see it.
Survivor Australia, with that, no spoilers here, but Survivor Australia, I hear, was very fun.
It was, from what I saw, although I didn't see the finale. I heard there was a lot of outrage, Alex Kidwell.
Alex thinks it's a really fun season.
My anger went viral, Jordan.
Yeah, wasn't it on like a UK website?
Yes, my rage was broadcast across the world.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Okay.
Let's talk about that after this podcast. I want to hear more about this. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's take I'm just looking at the question that I have, and I'm just going to quickly look at Twitter here. Oh, we have one. This is from this isn't a question, just a statement. This is from Angel Bathory. Angel says, I don't care who you all vote for. I still love you. So thank you, Angel. Oh. We love you, too.
Love you, too.
That's very kind of you, Angel. Let's take one more, and then we can kind of wind things down for today. This one is from Iron Pony Chef. Iron Pony Chef says, if Chrissy is playing in the veto, does Big Brother have to bring back the wall of shame as a joke? How is Chrissy going to react, first off, if she goes up as America's nominee? Does Chrissy have any inkling or any clue that maybe she could be going on the block this week, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, like, at this point, like, all the votes have been, she still was like, oh, well, maybe there was a reason, maybe they have some plan, and that's why they gave Shelby the care package, but they're definitely worried at this point. Like, it's nobody knows for sure who's going to be put up by America, and so they're all a bit worried. And I think, you know, being a have-not and everything, she, like, her arrogance has diminished to some extent. So,
well, it's not just the fact that they're have-not, they realize that America is against them at this point, or they think America is against them at this point, because America voted to evict Neely, okay? Then America decided to give Shelby the care package, and now they're looking at America's nominee, and I think that they are worried. I know Justin in particular, he expects that Chrissy or Jason is going to be nominated by America because he thinks that America doesn't like that side now, and he may be right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, Chrissy might be surprised, but after America chooses to evict Neely over Scott, she can't be shocked anymore. That was the big one, I think, that really made her pause and say, oh, I don't know everything that's going on.
Right.
That one was not something you saw coming.
All right. Well, that is going to, I think, we'll have to stay tuned for the vote. Voting opens tonight at what time, Taryn?
I think 11.
11. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So 11 Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific is when the voting will open. So stay tuned to see what happens there. No podcast tomorrow, but there will be an RHAP episode on Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. The guys will give you an update on what's going down, post veto, who's going to go home, all that kind of stuff, and preview the eviction. So stay tuned for that. Let's just go around quickly. We'll get some final thoughts from you guys while you guys in the chat room can help us brainstorm some hashtags. Taryn, any final thoughts for today?
Well, I do want to quickly say that I did end up talking with Mike Bloom and AJ Mass about Black Mirror. That podcast should be up pretty soon, and that was a lot of fun on post-show recaps. And we also played a game of Mario Party 2 at Podcast House in New York, and we streamed it on Twitch, and I have the video. I've been working on editing it down a bit, and so I do plan on posting some sort of version of that on my YouTube channel to let anyone who's interested in watching it but not watching all like 4 hours of it. So check that out. I'll post it soon. I'll tweet it out when it's done. That should hopefully be a lot of fun. So check that out.
That's what you were doing while I was off gallivanting around New York, going to a casino and losing $500 in 45 minutes. Yeah.
Yes.
That's,
yes.
Yeah.
And all I lost was my dignity on Taryn's emulator.
That was not a good call on my part. I should have stayed with y'all and played Mario Party rather than donate $500 in 45 minutes to Resorts World Casino in New York City. Not a good call.
Now you've given them a plug.
Right
now, yeah, now you have, Brent.
They were terrible. They were shit.
All right, Brent, any final thoughts?
No, no final thoughts on me. I'm loving the season, and I like where this week could potentially go. Like I've said this earlier on Twitter, everybody, meaning all of us on both sides, Ball Smasher fans, Misfit fans, we all could potentially be very, very happy here. There are a lot of things, a lot of Ball Smashers going home that I could very much support, and I think people who think like me could also support as well. So don't despair, Misfit fans. And totally off topic from that, Taryn, tell us, like, really quickly, if you can, in a few sentences, what is Black Mirror about? Because I have heard about this show, and I don't know anything about it. So what is it about, and why should I watch it?
Well, okay, so if anybody's ever seen The Twilight Zone, Black Mirror is basically a modern-day Twilight Zone, but more on the technology side. Twilight Zone was often very mystical. It's an anthology series. Each episode is self-contained, and it's about it often takes place with some sort of future technology that can help expose certain aspects of human behavior that that can lead to often very dark outcomes. A lot of people think it's about, like, the dark side of technology, but it's really about the dark side of human nature that technology might expose to us. And that's what makes it really interesting.
Okay.
The first episode of the new season, the concept is, you know, you rate people out of 5 stars. Everybody you interact with, and you all have a rating, and the possible implications of that. So it's a really, really cool show. It's on Netflix. I recommend everyone check it out.
Now, Taryn, okay. I give you 1 star.
Taryn is 1 out of 5. Alex Kidwell is 5 out of 5, though. Alex, final thoughts.
Ball Smashers.
Yes, bitch. Yes.
All right. Now, looking at the hashtags from the chat room, I think the best one we got was from our own Alex Kidwell. He said, hashtag hijacking Taryn's poll. So, so there we go. We'll go with that. You can also, if you're team Alex, use that. If you're team Taryn, hashtag Alex hates football.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Jordan's like thrown aside the shovel and he's gone and found a forklift to bury me with.
I had totally forgotten too.
Oh, Alex, I said it. 5 out of 5. I love you, man. It's all love, buddy. It's all love. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this edition of our Happy Hour. If you want to tune in every week, you can. You can subscribe again on YouTube, robiswebsite.com/YT, or you can subscribe to the Happy Hour only feed, robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's Happy Hour with an R at the front. And stay tuned. We've got a bonus podcast coming out soon. We've got the 100th episode of the Happy Hour. It's a special podcast coming up. I interview a bunch of friends of the show who you've heard from if you're a longtime listener of the Happy Hour. So stay tuned for that. I've recorded a lot of it already, and it's been a lot of fun. So I can't wait to put that out. So stay on the lookout for that. Should be coming to your iTunes feed early this week, probably. So before the Wednesday show, we're hoping is when that one will drop. We will be back again Wednesday night live after the eviction at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Should be a great show, working the night shift. Can't wait to see you guys there. All right, guys, that is going to do it. So we'll see you next time. For Alex Kidwell, Brent Wagamont, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag hijacking Taryn's poll. Hashtag Alex hates football. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
The theme song of the reality TV Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.